couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
What was that?
What? That was a pause. That was a dramatic pause.
That was a dramatic pause, and then it turned very effeminate. It was like, and I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat
Guys at the Movies.
Anyway, we got a good show for you this week. We are
Merry Christmas!
We're talking about some pretty big movies. We have the Golden Globe nominated It's Complicated.
Everything. Isn't everything this week nominated for a Golden Globe?
The everything nominated Sherlock Holmes.
Yes.
And the Squeakquel. The Alvin and the Chipmunks movie.
Now, what was that nominated for?
Best use of the word Squeakquel. Best made up title word.
This is also the Big Fat Christmas Special.
This is the Big Fat Christmas Special.
There's nothing special about it.
Which is also nominated for several awards in places that we don't even know.
Yeah. I'm sure somebody nominated us for something. I think we got nominated for some award. Actually, we literally did get nominated by somebody for some podcast award.
We did?
Somebody nominated Fat Guys. Oh. I think somebody nominated Reject Radio as well. It may have been you.
That's even bigger stretch right there.
So, but no, it's the Big Fat Christmas Special because it's Christmas. Mm-hmm. This is going live on Christmas Day, so Merry Christmas to everybody. I hope Santa was good for you and left plenty of presents.
Some sort of device, maybe, that they could take Fat Guys the Movies around with them.
Ooh,
maybe an iPhone or an iPod.
That would be awesome. Kind. That would be an awesome Christmas
present. If you get the iPhone and the iPod Touch and you listen to Fat Guys the Movies, you get the logo comes up and it mm-hmm. fills your screen. So it's the big naked Kevin Carr.
It is the Big Fat Christmas Special. And mm-hmm. What did you get for Christmas? Anything exciting?
No.
No, nothing?
I bought myself a brand new laptop bag from Timbuktu Corporation. It was great. I just got peace and quiet. For Christmas. Let's just call it that.
That's kind of nice. Okay. Yeah. We won't delve any farther into that. Mm-hmm. I did not get peace and quiet for Christmas because the kids are here,
mm-hmm.
I got a 19-month-old, so he is a tornado.
Right.
He just rips things off the wall. I always thought that the Tasmanian devil mm-hmm. in Looney Tunes was really kind of ridiculous until this child came along.
Hmm.
So
that makes sense.
Speaking of hyper, tell us first how to get a hold of us in case
I didn't want to interrupt you. You were talking about the kids there, but here is how you get a hold of us. You can go over to fatguysinthemovies.com. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. This is how you would get it on some sort of portable device. You can subscribe, download, and review us. I haven't seen any new reviews lately, so get on that, people.
Yes.
You can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. You can leave us a voicemail, 614-388-8735. And as of time of recording, we don't have any new ones of those. You can also get us on Twitter. I am twitter.com/rejects, and Kevin Carr is twitter.com/KevinCarr with two R's.
That's right. And I am making a stand doing Christmas. I did my Christmas movies. Mm-hmm. Kind of was a little bit late on getting all those out, but I did cover Christmas movies this Twitter holiday, I guess.
Yeah.
So.
Fair enough.
Let's move on to the first movie we're going to talk about. It is, speaking of hyperactive kids and crazy people,
mm-hmm.
it is Alvin and the Chipmunks, the Squeakquel.
Yikes.
The Chipmunks are back, and this time they're taking on high school and learning about themselves and the newest singing sensation, the Chipettes.
Watch out, here I come. You spin me right around, baby, right around.
Alvin? Don't make me come over there!
I'm gonna puke!
Alvin!
This Christmas.
Alvin, are you boys behaving?
Have a little faith, Dave.
What was that?
Cheese ball?
The Chipmunks are back.
The crowd goes crazy. Ha!
Did you see this?
No.
No, did you? I'm sure you had a screening.
There was a screening. It was early in the morning, though. I don't feel like I don't.
Wait a minute. You're telling me that if the screening was at 7:30 at night, you actually would have gone to it?
Yeah, actually, I didn't have anything really going on that day except that my work schedule.
Mm.
On Film School Rejects, sometimes has me up until late in the evening.
It's good that you clarified that it was Film School Rejects and not your work schedule for, you know, pole dancing.
My hooking schedule exactly. keeps me up pretty much all night. So, you know, it's very hard to get to those 10 o'clock in the morning screenings.
Okay.
But had it been at 2 in the afternoon...
Were you tired last night? You sound really exhausted.
Well, that's because we're recording early today.
Oh, that's right. This week. And just to let people know, those who are waiting and wondering if we're going to do a Chipmunk segment, that's not happening this year. We did it 2 years ago when the first movie came out, yeah. But since we are recording early and we are trying to do a rush ahead for the Christmas show...
You know, I really feel like we should dig out some of those old uncut Chipmunk segments and post them to Fat Guys the Movies. Or just my personal collection. I miss
There is a certain file floating around in the Fat Guy archives called Raw Monks, which never made it on the air. It didn't even make it into the podcast for very good reasons.
But it's hilarious.
It's hilarious, and it featured Brian Gibson from Film School Rejects.
The illustrious, mysterious Brian Gibson.
Yeah, telling a chipmunk story about Legolas in the Lord of the Rings. Do you remember that story?
Oh my God, I need that somewhere.
It's fantastic. I may have to try and dig that up and put it on in a special, maybe a second reel podcast or something like that.
Right. Anyway, how about this movie though?
Okay. Yes.
Good?
Well, here's the thing. I'm one of the few critics out in the world who actually liked the first movie. I thought it was cute. I watched Alvin and the Chipmunks.
I thought it was kind of cute. I mean, it was okay.
Yeah. I mean, I saw the first one 2 years ago, and it was very, you know, it was in the spirit of the old TV show. If you watch the old cartoons from the 80s, I mean, they weren't high art, but they were cute, and they had, you know, the chipmunks singing, and I thought that the first movie was really cute. My kids loved it, and it was a lot of fun, and we'd play the soundtrack and stuff like that, and that's the reason I was interested in this one, and I took my kids. They absolutely loved it. It fit the bill. It had cute animals, squeaky voices, some fart humor, and a nutshot in it. So these
fart humor.
Yes, and that's the kind of stuff that kids want. It's not as good as the first one. It's a little forced, but it does kind of go back to the spirit of the original 80s animation, where they have to go to high school now, and because Dave gets injured in an accident during their tour, so they're in high school, they're learning about popularity and bullies, and they also, the best part about it, well, not the best part, but one of the best parts is they bring in the Chipettes, who are the girl chipmunks,
right,
which were in the show back in the 80s, and the voice cast, you wouldn't know who these voice casts are, but it's because they're high squeaky voices, but well, they got Jesse McCartney and Justin Long doing the chipmunks. They have Christina Applegate, Anna Faris, and Amy Poehler doing the Chipettes.
Oh, nice. I did not know that.
So they're cute. But the best part, David Cross actually steals the freaking show as the smarmy record producer.
He kind of stole the first one, though, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's great. And it's kind of because it's exactly the kind of movie he would make fun of, but he still does it, you know?
Right.
And stay through the whole thing. The final parts of the movie with David Cross are really literally worth the price of admission. It is that just outrageous.
Fair enough.
It's cute. My kids loved it, and I enjoyed it to a degree. So I'm going to say it kind of rocks.
Wow. Kind of rocks on Alvin and the Chipmunks. When we come back, we're going to see if Sherlock Holmes kind of rocks, too. We are back here on Fat Guys at the Movies. Mm-hmm. Now that we know that Alvin and the Chipmunks kind of rocks.
Oh, can I throw a little thing in here from one of the people that follows me, and I follow him back on Twitter.
Sure.
Yeah, John Cooper from John Coop from RealLoop.com. This is his take on the squeakquel. It's very different than mine. I'd mentioned I was going to be talking about it on the radio, and he said, and I quote, "Every time someone says the word squeakquel, the baby Jesus murders angels."
Nice.
I don't know if that's actually true.
Like, you know what, though? I feel like
it's easy to hate on this.
That's funny and all, but I feel like that's a comment from someone who hasn't seen the movie.
Yeah.
See, that's the problem. I've been arguing this for quite some time now that people just need to, especially people in our position who are like critics and whatnot, need to...
respectable members of the media.
Right. They need to see the movie before they're going to comment, like make a serious comment about the film.
Yeah.
Too many people are like, oh, that movie sucks.
Well, the whole thing
and
about...
And then you'd be like, oh, did you see it? And they're like, no.
I'm not quite sure about the theology behind Baby Jesus murdering angels anytime somebody says the word squeakquel. I do not think that that fits into any sort of religious canon. It's funny, so.
Anyway, speaking of things that do fall into religious canon, up next is It's Complicated.
What? Okay.
In which old people are doing it. That's actually what it's about.
Knowing how to be divorced is next to impossible.
Not that I want him back.
Of course not.
He cheats on you. Your 20-year marriage ends.
And then he marries her. Sometimes
it hurts. Joe, you are so lucky Jerry is dead.
Thank you.
You don't have to bump into him.
Oh, that's true.
Remember what we said.
My marriage is not turning out as I hoped.
Honey, I'm ovulating.
One tiny note, no his and her sinks.
And you don't think in the future you might want a his?
Oh my God, now we're talking code about my life.
Did you see this one?
No.
Wow!
I'm not having a good... You know, after that long string of so many good weeks, thanks to a bunch of award season screeners...
There was a week where we both saw everything, and then I think there was one that you saw more than I did.
I know.
But it's good to see things regressing.
It fell apart this past... Well, I've been traveling.
That's true.
Because of the holidays, and I've been having all kinds of stuff going on. Yes. So, but here's what I know about this movie.
Mm, old people doing it, man.
It's Alec Baldwin's butt.
Yeah, it is.
And Steve Martin and Meryl Streep. Are doing it.
Yeah, you see
Alec Baldwin
see
and Meryl Streep
lot.
Are doing it.
You see both of Alec Baldwin's 30 Rocks. I mean, it's like you
I
see
I think I
everything.
Like I like the quote from Roger Ebert the mm-hmm. best.
Okay.
Where he said that there was that movie back in the early 2000s called Young People.
Did he say I was actually saying this when I saw the movie. Yeah, Young People, yeah. You Know Whatting.
And then this one would be Old People.
Yes. Exactly. You know what? I thought the exact same thing as I was watching, and I go, this could be the name of the movie. I think exactly like Roger Ebert.
So, I don't know if you find that interesting or not.
Well,
but
here's
I'm
the thing.
I'm not sure I do.
It's written and directed by Nancy Myers, who's a fantastic director. I've liked most...
She makes passable movies.
Well, I like her stuff. I mean, she did Father of the Bride 1 and 2. She did What Women Want. She did Something's Gotta Give. She did The Holiday a couple years ago. I think she's a very talented director and writer. Her biggest problem is she has never gotten over the divorce with her husband, Charles Shire, who used to produce and write her movies with her. In fact, they co-directed...
Right.
They co-directed the first Father of the Bride movie, but in the remake with Steve Martin. So mm-hmm. there, you can still see her baggage of being divorced with a guy who's gone to a younger woman.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my favorite one of her films. Part of it is I'm not a big Meryl Streep fan. I know that gets me in a lot of trouble from a lot of people, but
like Meryl Streep's good stuff.
I'm just not a fan of her. I just don't. I mean, she's a good actor, but she's like Dustin Hoffman. I'm like, well, okay.
You know, I'm just fair enough.
Yeah. I mean, they're both fine actors and they've done some fantastic work, but I'm not one of these people that's like, you know, Meryl Streep's in it. It's got to be good. You'll never hear me utter those words except for just now, as an example.
As an example of something I would never say.
I would never say this. But it's okay. It really just relies on sort of like the humor of taking what would be a young person's story about people mm-hmm. having an affair and sleeping around and having sex and then smoking pot for like 20 minutes. There's a whole 20-minute smoking pot scene in this movie.
Nice.
And all this kind of stuff. But it's just puts it upon people who have a lot of gray hair in a lot of areas of their body.
And Alec Baldwin.
He's actually really funny in this movie. Steve Martin's
Alec Baldwin is always funny in my mind.
Yeah.
I've never seen him in a role that I didn't laugh at.
He was hilarious in The Hunt for Red October.
He was.
But Steve Martin is wasted, literally in the movie. There's a scene where he's wasted. But he's also kind of wasted. He doesn't have much to do. In the movie, and mm-hmm. and it's a kind of a shame because I really like Alec Baldwin a lot, and Lake Bell's in it, and she looks fantastic. I would have rather seen her jumbly bits than Alec Baldwin's. I'll just leave it
fair
at
enough.
That. So I'm right on the fence on this one. Kind of rocks, kind of sucks. I don't know. probably kind of sucks. Just because
you're gonna have to make a decision.
Okay, kind of sucks because I expected so much more from Nancy Myers. I think she's a better director than this.
Fair enough. So. Well, it's time to move on to, I guess probably the big movie of the week.
Yes,
Sherlock Holmes, in which
Elementary.
Robert Downey Jr. stars as a hip, updated version of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's famous detective.
Mr. Holmes, you must widen your gaze. You underestimate the gravity of coming events. Tomorrow, at midday, the world as you know it will end.
The witness stated that he saw Lord Blackwood rise from the grave.
We want you to find him and stop him.
That'll take every ounce of my not inconsiderable experience.
This may be a hobby to you, Mr. Holmes, but I do it for a living.
It does make a considerable difference to me, having someone with me on whom I can thoroughly rely.
You saw this, didn't you?
I did see this.
Thank you, finally.
Yes, I saw this a few weeks ago at this point. And I liked it.
That doesn't make up
lot.
For the fact that you just didn't go see the other two movies.
No, I know.
You but, said it in such a way, you're like, well, I saw it like a while ago. Take that, Kevin Carr.
No, I liked it. I thoroughly enjoyed Sherlock Holmes because, you know what, it's not Ritchie rock and roll. It's directed by Guy Ritchie.
It's got a lot of Guy Ritchie in this movie.
It has quite a bit of Guy Ritchie, but I feel like it's a fairly restrained effort.
It isn't the
rock and roll.
You mean rock and roll?
You know, shirtless boxing version of Sherlock Holmes.
They have shirtless boxing in this movie.
But that isn't the dominant theme. I think.
Okay.
I think a lot of the things that stick out to me with this Sherlock Holmes is the way that they did a lot of showing, not telling, the character of Holmes.
Okay.
You know, like they showed a lot of the ways that he uses deductive reasoning and his like fighting style, and how he's a very tactical person and uh-huh. stuff like that. And I think it just comes off as it's a very fun character. Robert Downey Jr. and Jude Law have amazing chemistry on screen together as yeah. Holmes and Watson. And you know, and I think the villain's good. Mark Strong is very good.
Yeah.
Even though it's kind of an odd story, they choose to tell this more supernatural-esque story. It is a bit
out there for a Sherlock Holmes story.
Right. But it ultimately, when it all kind of comes back together, it feels right in that universe.
Yeah.
I just feel like this is the perfect movie to release during Christmas weekend.
Okay.
Because it's the movie that your entire family can go to, despite some rather brutal violence.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a few like moments where characters meet their end.
Yeah,
that is a little.
It's a good solid PG-13. It's
yeah. It's, I mean, it is very much a PG-13 movie, and sadly, the shot in the trailer of Rachel McAdams in that outfit of glory, as I would call it.
Yes.
Did not make it into the movie at all.
Yeah. Well, wasn't this plagued with rumors of reshoots and recuts and that kind of thing?
No. It just feels like there was
a lot of extra stuff. It did make news that it got reshoots. I remember them doing reshoots.
Yeah, there were a few little ones, but you know that happens on all kinds of movies.
Yeah, all movies do that.
So you know, I think this is probably one of Guy Ritchie's better mainstream efforts.
Okay. Well, you're right. I like it. Okay, go on.
No, that's it.
I was going to say, you're right that it is a mainstream, definitely a mainstream effort by Guy Ritchie, way more mainstream than Rock and Rolla.
Mm-hmm.
And it's first of all, you got to understand, if you're going to go see this because you want to see the old Basil Rathbone Sherlock Holmes, you're going to just not know what the heck hit you, because it's not at all like that. It's not even like the character in the books. I mean, the Basil Rathbone versions were very true to the story. This one's a very updated, hip, cool pop version of Sherlock mm-hmm. Holmes, but it fits its style.
Right.
It seems a bit, for me, it was a little murky. Like the first half was kind of murky, not just the cinematography, but the story and the characters and that sort of thing. It does ramp up a bit better in the last half of the film, which if you're going to have a slow, you know, if you're going to have a rough part patch, it should be your first part of the movie. I thought Robert Downey Jr. and Jude Law were great in the movie. Rachel McAdam mm-hmm. kind of phoned in her performance. But overall, it was fun. It wasn't spectacular, but it was fun. So I'm going to say it kind of rocks.
I'm going to say it rocks. I liked it a little bit better than that. So.
Okay, well, cool.
Anyway, when we come back, we're going to talk about Christmas stuff.
Yay! and welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We have just laid down some awesome movie reviews about the Squeakquel.
Everybody should go see Sherlock Holmes.
And Sherlock Holmes. Yeah, I kind of want to see. You know what the thing is? I want to see Sherlock Holmes again.
Right. I think I'm going to take some family over Christmas.
I think I need to. Maybe I was expecting something slightly different.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of had. Maybe it was one of those things where you've seen these movies where you just kind of have to get into the movie. Fantastic mm-hmm. Mr. Fox was that way. I the first 10-15 minutes of Fantastic Mr. Fox was just offsetting to me, and right. once I got into the movie, I was totally sold on it. And then when mm-hmm. I went back and watched it a second time, I was sold from the beginning. It's just you kind of had to. It's sort of like jumping in a pool. You kind of have to just get acclimated to the film.
Right.
So that's my thought.
Fair enough.
All right, let's talk box office last week. The winner, hands down, the one that's a surprise hit that nobody expected. Did you hear about the Morgans? Took what?
Get out of here.
Fifth place? What is it? I don't even have it up. That's how prepared I am.
I know. I didn't have it up either. I was hoping
how
that
poorly
you had,
did that movie?
Fourth place with 6.6 million. Wow. Avatar, I guess the debate is whether or not Avatar beat the I Am Legend record for December openings.
Wait. How are they... I mean, did it beat it or not? I heard it came in just barely shy.
That's what I heard, too.
Okay.
But anyway, it made $77 million.
I'm so glad to hear that because the original numbers were like 73, which meant it just mm-hmm. barely beat Fast and Furious, which mm-hmm. makes me want to punch myself.
Right. Makes me want to go out and just punch the first person I see that looks like they're a Fast and the Furious fan, which yeah. is pretty easy around, because I'm in Cleveland this week. It's pretty easy to do around here.
Yeah. But the thing is, here's the thing with Avatar. I think it had, people are blaming the snowstorm.
I don't think it has anything to do with the snowstorm.
I think it made some people stay away in the big cities, simply because, especially like New York, because some people have to come into New York to see the movie. But I think it was also... More than that, I think that some people just kind of waiting to see. Because if you look at the Monday mm-hmm. numbers, it made over $16 million on Monday. On Monday.
Right.
$16 million is a fantastic haul for a Monday.
Right. And you know what? As of to date, to the time of recording, it's made $93 million domestic. Mm-hmm. And it is made, and this is going into the weekend, and it's made $285 million worldwide.
Yeah.
The other thing that I think I pointed out in an article earlier this week on Film School Rejects is that everybody forgets that Titanic barely won the weekend, barely beat, Tomorrow Never Dies.
Yeah. Well,
and
also
it took $28 million in its opening weekend and went on to make $600.
Yeah. It took something like a week or more for it to actually hit $100 million. Right. It was not very fast to 100 million. It just had staying power. And I think mm-hmm. Avatar is going to be like that because I think there's a yeah. lot of people who are going to go see it and then go home and tell people, oh, yeah, it's cool. And I think, and this is where the 3D comes in, I still think for as much as many 3D movies have been released, especially this year and last year, mm-hmm. To a lesser degree, there's still a lot of people who haven't gone and seen 3D. I'm literally, at the time of recording... like an hour after recording, I'm going to see it again in IMAX 3D, and I'm taking my aunt, who literally asked me on the phone. She's like, "Is it those paper glasses?" She still hasn't seen a real 3D movie nowadays. Right. So I think there's a lot of people that this is going to be their road test to see a 3D movie, which is awesome that they didn't road test like Final Destination.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Well, and I think. You know, I think what's interesting about Avatar is I feel like it is. It's very much like Titanic in that way that it's going to have good staying power because, you know, people are continuing to wait. And right now, there's a company that does the exit surveys.
Yeah.
And every single demographic gave Avatar an A, the highest rating.
Oh, really?
Coming out of Avatar. So the word of mouth is going to be crazy good on this. And I think what you're going to see this weekend... for Christmas is you're going to see Sherlock Holmes come out and explode because it's a well-marketed movie. It's an easy movie for people to understand what it is. It's got a lot of star power in it. So I think Sherlock Holmes is going to win this weekend, but like Avatar is not going to be very far behind. I wouldn't be surprised if Sherlock Holmes makes $70 million and Avatar makes $50 million. You know,
I wouldn't, here's the thing. I don't think Sherlock Holmes is going to be have as big of a weekend. And this is why. It's because Christmas falls on a Friday. Mm-hmm. And usually what you do is, like, last year you had like a 4-day window. True. So you got Friday, and then you got Saturday and Sunday, and then boom, you're back. And a lot of people are going to be back at work on Monday. So it just doesn't have that window. Mm-hmm. So I really think you're going to have a neck and neck race. I don't think Avatar is going to drop that much. Right. I really don't think. Like I said, with the numbers it's posting at the beginning of Christmas, of the week leading up to Christmas, mm-hmm. I really think Avatar, and it's not in competition with screens. It's got all the IMAX screens locked down. Right. It's got the digital projection.
It's got all the 3D screens.
Yeah, and Sherlock Holmes isn't released that way, so it has all the rest. So I think you're going to just get a lot of people going. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really think that this week you're going to have these four movies. You're going to have Avatar and Sherlock Holmes are going to do very well. I think mm-hmm. Alvin and the Chipmunks and It's Complicated are also going to do well.
Because right, because they're all different demographic.
Yeah, I mean, you got Avatar and Sherlock Holmes for the fanboy 20-something, 30-something crowd. You got old people going to see It's Complicated. You got families going to see Alvin and the Chipmunks. There's nothing that's in competition with anything else.
Right. I think the reason, in my mind, the reason that Sherlock Holmes wins the weekend is because it is easily spreadable across all of those demographics. It's not just a you know, geek.
Yeah, and it's getting a lot of good buzz.
Right. I mean, if my grandparents asked me what movie to go see this weekend, I would tell them to go see Sherlock Holmes.
Mm. You wouldn't tell them to go see The Squeakle?
No.
You wouldn't say, "Oh, your grandparents are old people."
I wouldn't tell them to go see old people screwing.
You say, "You guys are doing it. Go watch some other people doing it."
Oh God, gross! I love my grandparents. Don't get me wrong.
I'm sure you do, but I love my grandparents. Well, I only have one left. My grandmother, mm-hmm. but I don't want to think about her doing Alec Baldwin. That's just disgusting. I'm sorry.
Fair enough.
Let's move on to something else. Yeah. Let's do a Fat Guy Five.
I like Fat Guy Fives. These are always fun.
Yes.
Well, this week we're doing what? Five awesome Christmas movies? Well, I think it's going to be like six awesome Christmas movies.
It's going to end up being seven, actually, because we each get an honorable mention. We can't count with the Fat Guy Five, but we can't do Fat Guy Four, and Fat Guy Six or Fat Guy Seven or Fat Guy Ten just sounds dumb.
Right. Doesn't fit the rhyme scheme.
Boom.
So, anywho, here's the deal.
Yes.
Number one is Love Actually. This is one of my picks. Still one of my, probably my favorite modern Christmas movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, of the last, say, 10 years of the decade.
Yeah, because this is a while ago. It was like 2002. Mm-hmm. It surprised me how long ago that movie was. Mm-hmm. 2002, 2003. It was 2003.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a really sweet movie. It's very British, which mm-hmm. I like. Richard Curtis directed it. And so far, that man cannot do any wrong in my book. Love Actually, okay. Pirate Radio, both.
Mr. Bean.
Extremely charming movies. Hey, Mr. Black Bean Adder. Made a lot of money worldwide.
Yeah. I actually used to watch this for the first time. I got it on Blu-ray, and I watched it. I did a live tweet with a bunch of people on it. And it's the first time I ever saw it, because I wasn't actually able to review mm-hmm. it when it first came out. And I have to say, I agree. It's very sweet. It's one of those that it took me a little bit of time to get into because it has so many stories going on, and they're all very different stories. I mean, it's a somewhat morose story with Liam Neeson and his stepson with the dead mother, mm-hmm. and you've got the more romantic story with Colin Firth, and then you got the quirky story, with the Prime
Minister and his aide.
Yes.
Which man, that girl.
I don't think she's chunky at all, man. She's hot.
She is a beautiful woman.
But what's funny about it, the only story I didn't like is the guy who's British who goes to America. Because I'm like, because it was so out of place. But
absurd. He goes to Wisconsin.
Yeah, and he meets like Alicia Cuthbert. He meets January Jones, that Ivana hot Russian model girl. And I mean, just like, it's like tons of, and I get the joke. I'm like, okay, I get the joke, right. But it's so ridiculous because none of the other stories are told that way.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a sweet movie. By the end of it, I really enjoyed it. Yeah.
Nice. Well, the next one on the list is another. Every year when I go home for Christmas, I bring two movies, and this is one of them because I need to watch it before Christmas. It's National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
And the other one's Hostel, correct?
Not quite. this is by far my favorite Christmas movie of all time. Absolutely hysterical. Griswold the Family Christmas.
Yes. Do you get everybody a Jam of the Month Club membership?
Oh my God, the Jelly of the Month Club or whatever it is.
Yeah.
No, but I do pull up in my large trailer.
And you go, the shitter's full.
The shitter's full. And I urinate into the storm sewer.
Why not?
So that's always fun.
Yes.
I mean, if you've never seen National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, run to the nearest wall and smack yourself against it.
Do that.
That's just wrong.
Yes. My picks, I'm going to go to some older picks.
Because you're
first
old.
First one, well, it's not that old. The first one, it's A Miracle on 34th Street. Mm-hmm. That's one of my favorite Christmas movies. Not the remake. The remakes suck. But the original with Maureen O'Hara and Natalie Wood. Very heartwarming, sweet movie. And I've chosen this as my pick. I've done TV spots and stuff like that where I'm always choosing this. People are like, what? That's so old. What about Elf? And I'm like, no, Miracle on 34th Street. Mm-hmm. That's one. And also an older one is It's a Wonderful Life. Jimmy Stewart. In what starts off not as a Christmas movie, but ends in a Christmas movie because it takes place at Christmas, which has been much parodied on every single television show, sitcom, you know, everything has done its their own It's a Wonderful Life version, even the Bundys on Married with Children. But the original's great, very heartwarming, and you can get it on DVD, and they don't show it as much. They used to show it all the time. Mm-hmm. And then the last one of the Fat Guy Five is the Grinch Who Stole Christmas, or How the Grinch Stole Christmas, not the Jim Carrey version, which is awful, did come out recently on Blu-ray. And it looks cool, but it's a bad movie. My kids like it, but...
Fair enough.
No, the original Chuck Jones animated version with Boris Karloff and Tony the Tiger singing the song.
Nice.
Which, you know what's funny is I was listening to the radio on the way home the other day, and they were playing the Grinch song, and I'm listening, and I go, do you know what? If you've never seen the Grinch, and you don't know anything about the Grinch, and you're listening to a Christmas station, and this song comes on, you'd be like... What the hell is this song about? Because it has nothing to do with Christmas. It's just talking about how awful this guy is.
Yeah. Well, then again, if you've never seen The Grinch or heard of The Grinch, why do we allow you to still live in America?
Yeah. Well, you should probably go to a cave in Afghanistan or something.
Right. Even then, I would expect you to know. My honorable mention is The Muppets Christmas Carol.
Yes.
Which is a family favorite around here.
That's a good one. A
great movie. The best version of A Christmas Carol I've ever seen.
Au contraire, I'm going to throw in my honorable mention. My best Christmas Carol adaptation is Mickey's Christmas Carol.
Nice.
Which is the animated film from the 80s.
Or Scrooged.
Nah, Scrooge was okay. But the thing I like about Mickey's Christmas Carol is it's very sweet, and it's the best casting of pre-existing characters into an adaptation, which I think it was just brilliant.
I don't know.
Oh, no, Muppets is good.
Muppets
too.
Had Michael Caine.
That's true.
And there Kermit.
Well, you'd figure that one. I guess. Yeah. Of course it has Kermit. It's the Muppets.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, time to go to a break. When we come back, we shall wrap you up and send you off into your Christmas.
With a big bow.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch. You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel.
And we're wrapping you up here on Fat Guys at the Movies. Mm-hmm. Now that you've heard all of our various opinions about the movies of the week.
Ho, ho, ho.
Hopefully you stuck around for segment 3, in which we talked about our favorite Christmas movies. Either that or you listened to our Christmas show last year.
Which I think we just repeat the same ones. I'm pretty sure that...
I don't care. I mean, I'm not ashamed of that.
What the heck?
You know, I will watch... People don't think I'm telling the truth here, but I do watch Muppets Christmas Carol and National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation every year in the few days leading up to Christmas.
Yeah, I always watch stuff with my kids, so yeah, I mean, the heck with you guys.
Yeah, that's the thing about Christmas, is you're always watching the same movies, but it doesn't matter.
Word.
Because they're Christmas movies. Anyway, it's time once again for the world-famous DVD Roundup. We'll start with me, because I only have two. I'm just going to get these out the way right quick. The first one is District 9, which if you have a Blu-ray player, go pick up this Blu-ray. It's easily one of the best of the year. The best one since Star Trek by far.
Wow.
It's just packed with awesome.
Packed with awesome.
And some special features. This is one of the things that is very rare, is special features that actually add value to the movie and actually give you insight into the filmmaking process.
So it's not just
instead of just
people,
showing you like what it was like to be Brad Pitt on the set.
Or people just sitting there going, oh, this person was our first choice for this movie. Mm-hmm. Oh, this person's
awesome. Yeah, instead of
awesome.
People being like, oh, but I loved working with this director.
Yeah.
This is, you know, at one point there's Neil Blomkamp talking about his, you know, how many mistakes he made and how much he learned and how unprepared he was to make this great movie.
He's like, yeah, when I killed that hooker, that was a terrible idea.
So, a fantastic set of special features. It's kind of a simple layout, but it's really good.
With Invictus in the movie theaters, this is actually the movie about South Africa you want to go see.
Right. The actual movie about apartheid that is impactful. Mm-hmm. The other one, which is also about apartheid, is 500 Days of Summer.
What?
Which is the probably the romantic comedy of the year, I think.
It's the darling indie movie of the year, definitely.
The darling indie movie of the year.
I thought it was okay. I didn't think it was awesome.
Not only is it a good movie, but the DVD is strong. There's a lot of stuff on the DVD.
Yeah.
Because they did there's a lot of extra stuff. A lot of special features that were a lot of interviews and stuff because it was a Sundance movie.
Yeah.
So they just had tons of like extra footage after the movie came out on the campaign trail.
Oh, cool.
Essentially. So that's good.
All right. The ones.
What do you got?
I'll go ahead and throw out these. I would also throw down for District 9 as well. But there's also Something Dark Side, which is the Family Guy sequel to Blue Harvest.
Mm-hmm.
Available on DVD and Blu-ray. Extract, which was Mike Judge.
Which I thought was very funny.
It's a very funny movie. Actually, some surprising performances by people like Ben Affleck. And Jason Bateman does a great job in it, too.
He's just good.
Yeah, so that one's definitely one. Oh, and David Koechner's awesome in that movie. Mm-hmm. And Kristen Wiig. Everybody's great in the movie. And it's got some decent special features. It's not packed, but it's got a couple Blu-ray extras over the DVD. And there's also, if you're into ABC Family programming, you've got Kyle XY, the last season, which is it's okay. And The Secret Life of the American Teenager, which surprisingly, having watched like the first couple seasons, I'm sort of into. believe it or not.
There's so many jokes there, but since it's Christmas.
Oh, you're so sweet. But yeah, that's actually
that go.
That's coming out in another their third season is on DVD. Mm-hmm. So, and there's a new American Pie movie. Might as well mention that one.
Yeah, The Book of Love.
Yes.
American Pie, The Book of Love. Actually isn't that's the frustrating part about these American Pie movies sequels. They're not terrible.
They're okay, and
they're okay, and they're passable, which is why they keep making them.
Well, but the other thing is, I give these movies respect because I cannot stand, and they did this with the second American Pie movie, where it's a movie that's a raunchy comedy and it's a sex comedy. The first one delivered on the sex and the nudity. Then you get to the second one, and they just kind of forgot about the nudity, and you're like,
right?
When back in the 80s, when people like me were sneaking in to go see Porky's, you went and saw Porky's, and then there better be nudity. And it's like when they got and saw Porky's 2, and the only nudity were old KKK members. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, I felt robbed.
Right.
So, yeah.
Anyway, moving on from the old KKK members.
Yes.
What's our stinker this week?
It's all about Steve. This is the Sandra Bullock movie that is not nominated for anything.
Yeah, and deservedly so.
Except for maybe a Razzie or two. Or a gag award. We're going to be getting those coming out soon.
Nice.
The gag awards. This is a funny story about All About Steve. It had its release date bumped all over the place. Which is usually a bad sign, shows that there's no confidence by the studio. And then it came out, nobody saw it, and I didn't even go see it, which I usually go see. I see as many as I can, but I didn't even go see it. And then I'm like, had to talk about it on the radio, so I got sent the DVD, so I started watching it, and it made me rethink my top 10 worst of the year list.
Wow.
That is how bad power. Of a movie is. Yeah, it's a misfire all the way. It's so bad.
Nice.
So that's it.
All right. Well, moving on. Time to wrap up our reviews. We had Alvin and the Chipmunks, The Squeakquel, which Kevin says, what kind of rocks?
Kind of rocks if you got kids. I mean, don't go to the fancy restaurant, take your date, and then hope to get lucky because that's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. And then It's Complicated, which you saw.
And I'm gonna go with the kind of sucks on that one.
And then Sherlock Holmes, which I said totally rocks.
And I said it kind of rocks.
Well, there you go. Next week, we're not reviewing any movies as much as we are doing our year-end wrap-up, probably our most important show of the year.
Yes.
We're going to lay down our top 10. We're going to talk about breaking out performances and all kinds of various things that happened over the year. So big year-end wrap-up. Because, you know, the year is going to be over soon.
That's true.
In the meantime, you can get us over at fatguysthemovies.com. You can get us on iTunes. You can get us on the Twitter. If you need to figure that out, Twitter. Just go over to fatguysthemovies.com, and that'll hook you up. Until then, have a Merry Christmas.
Ho, ho, ho.